This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Reverend Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Please stay tuned following the service for information on ordering CD, cassette tape, and printed copies of today's sermon. Thank you for joining us this day. Please tune in every Sunday on this station.
The most honorable person does not condemn either an institution or an individual without knowing something about them. Do you agree with this? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us so well. Yet there are so many people who condemn you, who will have nothing to do with you, who turn their backs on you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you might have a hearing in a day where people have gone astray, a hearing where they can hear that man is man and God is God, and we're in trouble when we try to become gods. Father, we pray your blessings to rest upon the church, that in this perilous age we may be faithful to the word, that we may serve you as you have called us to do, and that we may truly know that we are the salt of the earth and we are not to conform to our society. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, Jesus had just finished his Sermon on the Mount. He had covered a multitude of subjects concerning the Christian life. He had talked to the people about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In other words, they were to be his witnesses if they were his disciples. So, without a doubt, he was talking to a mixed crowd, believers, seekers, and some wondering who this voice really was. He wanted them to know that God's law was authoritative. And so he spent some time on the commandment, "Thou shalt not commit murder." And then another one, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And he sort of spiritualized these commandments. He said that if we hate our brother, we're murderers. If we look at a person so as to lust after him or her, we are committing adultery. He took a hard hit at hatred. A Christian was not to have that in his or her heart. Rather, we were to love. Love even those who do not love us. To love our enemies. He wanted us to know that while he had given us plenty for our own welfare, we were not to forget the needy. We were to visit the widows and the orphans. We were to care for them. We were to reach outside of ourselves. In this mighty sermon, he talked to them for a while about prayer. And while he realized that there was a time for thousands of people to gather and pray, he spends a lot of time on this idea of going apart by yourself, shutting the door, and having a good conversation with your Father in heaven. He talks to them about judgment, and he says, "You don't need to judge others, that's my job to do." Well, these were some of the topics that pertain to the Christian life as Jesus was preaching to them, and the list has not changed. If we are Christians, we will take all of these admonitions very seriously. But then when he gets to the end of this marvelous sermon, he concludes with a prayer, a parable. And the parable he puts into pictorial language. Jesus was a master communicator. I wonder how he would evaluate the communication that we're doing in our day with all kinds of gimmicks in some way to get the attention of people. I certainly do not criticize these ways of doing it, but I just wonder, he who had such a tremendous ability to draw a picture so that you knew exactly what he was saying, would talk to us about some of our abstract teaching that is so abstract that before anybody can understand it, we have to use all kinds of modern means to communicate. Well, when you see this, you really wonder, isn't it a shame that Jesus does not get a hearing? That he has really never gotten a hearing in this world, and it certainly is no better today. This is where I really like what William Barclay has said. "The most honorable person does not condemn either a person or an institution without knowing them. Today, that is what so many of us are doing. I find myself talking privately or publicly on subjects that really I have nothing to talk about because I don't know what the subject is all about." So it is with many people as far as our Lord Jesus is concerned and the church. They can't say enough bad about Jesus. They denounce the church. "That's why I have walked away from the church," they will say. And I sometimes take the time to ask them, "Well, when were you last a dynamic member of the church?" Only to find out they never have been, or they left when they were just a kid. "Oh, what do you know about Jesus Christ? You criticize him. You say he's an equal to Muhammad or some of the others. How do you know? Have you made a study of it? Why did Jesus come to this world?" Most of them don't have a clue. They'll probably tell you that he came to teach the Ten Commandments, and that was given to us by Moses. They say that he came to talk about the Golden Rule. And while he did give it to us, it is certainly not the central part of the faith. If you ask him, tell me, what is the one verse in the Bible that really describes Christianity? Very few of them can come up with the right answer. It is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Yet with our biblical illiteracy, there seems to be a master of the Christian faith, supposedly, on every news program. I shudder to hear the media sometimes elaborate on theological subjects when they know so little about it. Well, Jesus was a person who could give us an awful lot. And so it is a shame for us and for the world that he does not get a hearing. My theme then today is listen. Listen to what Jesus is saying. And so he begins our text today with a parable. A parable that I'm sure that if any of you have had very much to do with your Bible, know very well. But I want to read it, and then I want to give it a modern setting, and then I want to apply that to the human being. Here is the words of our Lord. "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crush." Now, isn't that a simple little story? Of way back in Jesus' day, there were those people who built a house. The one of them was wise and had it on a firm foundation on the rock. And the second one built his on the sand. I was amazed one day when I came up with the modern version of this great parable of our Lord. Surrounding our golf course, there are many who have built some rather elaborate houses. Now, I know these figures wouldn't mean very much in Florida, or certain parts of the East Coast, or down into California and Arizona, but these are Iowa prices, where we live in a little bit more humble situation. I was riding through this new housing development with a realtor, and he was pointing out houses to me, and one caught my eye, and I said, "How much would that house cost?" And he said, "Well, about $350,000. And I said, "Is it sold?" He said, "Oh, yes, it's sold." And I said, "Wealthy people? No. People in this particular case who live on two incomes, both husband and wife work, and therefore they are able to afford this very beautiful building." And I commented on it and praised the work of it. And then we got to another house, and I said, "Man, how much did this house cost?" And he laughed and he said, "You won't believe this, but this didn't cost as much as the first house." Yeah, the first house cost $350,000. He said, "This one perhaps would cost, $325,000. And I said, "Why the difference?" Well, he said, the first builder wanted quality. He had been a person who had some interest in building. He said, "That has the best shingles on there that we can buy around here." He went on to tell about actually the foundation and what they had done to that foundation so that no water would ever go into that basement and destroy their nice carpet. The other one were willing to take what we were offering. Not nearly as good. In other words, the first house had a quality to it that is not seen by the naked eye. The second house, which was worth less, did not have quite the quality, but it had all of the outside trimmings that made it so appealing. So they built their houses. Well, as far as I know, the storm has not yet come, but it would be interesting to see if the one stood, shed the water. No water got into the basement, while the others did not have that luxury. People are doing the same thing today. Now then, this as it applies to the person, for that is what our Lord Jesus is talking about. How we build our lives. What is the foundation for our life? What's going to happen when the storms come to our lives? Jesus is not contrasting Christians and non-Christians. He is talking to people who both knew the Word of God. Now, here's a family, and these are not typical. Describing different ones to you, people with whom I have visited and have been a pastor for many years too, and how they respond to the heartaches and the sorrows that do come. Both of these families go to church. Both of them study the Word of God. Both of them could pass a test in Christianity. Both of them could say that I love my church, but yet they are somewhat different. Now, what is the difference? During the course of the first family who has read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has worked and has confronted them with Jesus Christ, and they have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. In other words, they live in a personal relationship with Him. You go into your home, you can feel the difference. If you sit around and have a meal with them, there will be prayer and Bible reading. When you talk with the kids, you can see that they have been immersed from their childhood in the Christian faith and what goes on there. The two people teach a Sunday school class on Sunday morning. They're concerned about the poor. They're very willing to share their faith with somebody else. Now, the other family, don't get me wrong, they're very, very fine. They're nice people. They are faithful in church. Perhaps in some ways more active than the others because they have a personality appeal. And everybody wants them to be on their committee or become involved in their program that's going on. But they have never yet met Christ. And if you get down deep in their heart, they're the ones who will tell you that. We wish that we had a depth there. We still have our doubts. And I would ask one of these families, have you come to that place in your spiritual life where you know for sure that if you die today, you'd go to heaven? The answer would be, no, I'm not sure. I know that Jesus died for me, but I think I've got to do something too, and I can't get beyond that. They have not come to the place where they can place all of their sins at the cross and cry out, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. They'll tell you, now remember, they're nice people. I realize that I probably should do more in a church of a spiritual nature. I should probably work in the teaching aspect of the church, for I can teach. But I just don't like to get tied down to anything. Life is so busy, and if I work outside of the home and raise the children, I've got enough without the church. I'll have to give that to somebody else or leave it until the time when I can take care of it. It's just a difference. Now, remember, I'm just drawing pictures. Here is a family, then, who has a terrible tragedy. In the middle of the night, they get word that their child was killed by a person who had been drinking. I was called to that home in the wee hours of the morning. The family was mourning. The hurt was great. They asked the same question. Why did that have to happen? Where is God in this whole matter? And then as the days went by and I visited with both Dad and Mom, they said, "We know that we're going to get through this terrible happening. For God has said he would be with us. But we will never be the same people." However, they had weathered the storm. They were coming through. Not that it would be exactly the same, no. But they had not weathered it alone. Here is another case that I described earlier of the people who had built a big, beautiful home. And they had a tragedy, too. A real tragedy. The husband was taken away early, while at the age of 60. But they had planned to enjoy this home, and now it was taken from them. And the question was, how was she going to get along, the widow? She became a very bitter woman. She went to her grave believing that God had dealt her a low blow. She's in heaven today. She's died herself. But what a terrible situation that she could not face the fact of the storm that had come to her life. And of course, it was a terrible loss. No one would question that. But the poor soul could not leave it all in the arms of Jesus. Let's not talk about your house. I hope it's well built. Let's talk about your life. What is the foundation for your life? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it he who has said, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age"? Is it he who has said that when this life is over, I'll take you home to heaven? Is it he who you can feel, symbolically speaking, taking you by the hand and leading you? Do you know Jesus Christ personally? Do you love him? Do you serve him? Do you live with him? Then you're prepared for the storm. It'll hurt, but he'll be right there. But if you've built your house on just knowledge of him, and all the other things that you build it upon are the material or other aspects of life, you're not ready for the storm. Why not today, if you're that latter one, turn your life over to him. Let him be your foundation and go on serving him until he comes to meet you. Amen.
And silver or gold, I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nearest hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He is fairer than rarest bloom, he's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hunger brings. my spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Father in heaven, even in this day, there are many people whose lives are found in the midst of a storm. They're hurting, Lord. And we pray that that gospel of Jesus Christ may take away that hurt. We pray that somehow or other as a word is proclaimed to them in one way or another today, they may meet a Savior who truly loves them. The one who reminded them that there would be these storms, but the one who assured them that if their lives were built upon the rock, they would stand. And so if they have not built their house on the rock, but on the sand, and grant, O God, that this might be a day where, empowered by the Holy Spirit, they will make a real decision to turn to you and make you their rock. O God, be with them, we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. May today's gospel message give you renewed strength for the week to come. If you are listening to Christian Crusaders on radio station KLBB in Stillwater, Minnesota, we'd like to know. Please write, call, or email us soon. Hearing from listeners lets us know which stations are being heard. Please send us a note at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You can also contact us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484 or by email at cc@naz.org. Every KLBB listener who responds will receive a free gift. Christian Crusaders accepts credit card donations online and over the phone. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org or call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH to take advantage of this convenient way to aid in our ministry. CD, cassette, and printed copies of today's sermon are available by writing to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Or by calling us at 1-888-693-2484. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, Reverend Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.